Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma stuff for me to take, and it did absolutely nothing to help with slow healing or bring my diabetes down. My friend Patrick recommended the products found at yourdiyhealth.com here on EFR, and I have tried them. And my sugar level is down, my energy level is up, and my body is getting the natural ingredients it needs for self-healing. I am quite pleased at the results. You can contact Jim Ram at yourdiyhealth.com. That's yourdiyhealth.com. And their toll-free order number is 855-809-6864. That's 855-809-6864. I am quite happy with their products, and I'll just leave it at that. Praise Yahweh. See you later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This show is for the 23rd of May, 2018. It is my 386th word-for-word show. That's not counting the reruns, that's just the news shows. We're in the Apocrypha in the book of Sirach. I'm doing the best I can under a bad situation. Microsoft has taken control and made modifications, and everything's changed, and I've had to patch together stuff. I hope this is recording all right. They just can't leave well enough alone to get something that works, and then you have to relearn the whole system. So I've been fighting this all morning. So if it's a little odd, you'll have to forgive me. But we're going to be starting in chapter 34 this morning. I want to give my website information before I get started. It's pastor-steve.com. It's not an interactive website. You can't troll there. I really just don't have the time to babysit. So that's what I've done. I've got a download and listen site. You can dial around on there and get links to other places, and I'm real happy with it. It's a WordPress site, and it's a nice little site. It's not real fancy, but then I'm not real fancy either. Let's get started here in chapter 34 of the book of Sirach. Now, chapter 34, verses 1 through 8. Matter of fact, I need to put my reading glasses on instead of those glasses. Verses 1 through 8, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. and chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. That's Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, and 18, 9 through 14 on verses 1 through 8. The subsection title of this one is Dreams Mean Nothing. And let's start at verse 1 here. The senseless have vain and false hopes, and dreams give wings to fools. Verse 2. As one who catches at a shadow and pursues the wind, so is anyone who believes in dreams, or the Greek has pays heed to dreams. Okay. Verse 3. What is seen in dreams is but a reflection, the likeness of a face looking at itself. Verse 4. From an unclean thing, what can be clean? And from something false, what can be true? Verse 5. Divinations and omens and dreams are unreal, and like a woman in labor, the mind has fantasies. Verse 6. Unless they are sent by intervention from the Most High, pay no attention to them. Verse 7. For dreams have deceived many, and those who put their hopes in them have perished. Verse 8. Without such deceptions, the law will be fulfilled, and wisdom is complete in the mouth of the faithful. There we go. Now, here's another subsection. This is called Experience as a Teacher. Verse 9. An educated person knows many things, and one with much experience knows what he is talking about. Verse 10. An inexperienced person knows few things, but, but he that has traveled acquires much cleverness. Verse 12. I have seen many things in my travels, and I understand more than I can express. Boy, that's true. I've had that experience many times. Verse 13. I have often been in danger of death, but have escaped because of these experiences. Well, you learn from your experience, do you not? Well, that's what he's talking about in this section of passages. And here's another subsection. It's Fear Yahweh. Now, they have the Lord in here, fear the Lord, but it's not the Lord, it's Yahweh. Wherever they put the Lord in, they have taken the name of Yahweh out. So I make it a point in my readings to replace the sacred name where it belongs. I don't like all these mistranslations where they fiddle with it. I really dislike the tampering, okay? Verse 14, the spirit of those who fear Yahweh will live. Verse 15, for their hope is in him who saves them. Verse 16, those who fear Yahweh will not be timid or play the coward, for he is their hope. Amen on that. gives you courage. Verse 17. Happy is the soul that fears Yahweh. Verse 18. To whom does he look, and who is his support? Verse 19. The eyes of Yahweh are on those who love him, a mighty shield and strong support, a shelter from scorching wind and a shade from noonday sun, a guard against stumbling and a help against falling. Verse 20. He lifts up the soul and makes the eyes sparkle. He gives health and life and blessing. Verse 21 starts another subsection, offering sacrifices. Verse 21, if one sacrifices ill-gotten goods, the offering is blemished. Verse 22, the gifts of the lawless are not acceptable. Verse 23, the Most High is not pleased with the offerings of the ungodly, nor for a multitude of sacrifices does he forgive sins. Verse 24. Like one who kills a son before his father's eyes is the person who offers a sacrifice from the property of the poor. It's like a landlord of a tenement slum tenement that gives to the church. It's worthless. He's stealing from the poor by charging them high rent for a piece of garbage property. Verse 25, the bread of the needy is the life of the poor. Whoever deprives them of it is a murderer. Verse 26. To take away a neighbor's living is to commit murder. Verse 27. To deprive an employee of wages is to shed blood. Ooh. Wow. Man, verse 28, when one builds and another tears down, what do they gain but hard work? Verse 29, when one prays and another curses, to whose voice will Yahweh listen? Verse 30, if one washes after touching a corpse and touches it again, what has been gained by washing? Verse 31. So, if one fasts for his sins and goes again and does the same things, who will listen to his prayer? And what has he gained by humbling himself? And that ends chapter 34. Now we go into chapter 35 of Sirach. This subsection is the law and sacrifices. We don't do sacrifices anymore, but this is still full of wisdom, a lot of things. They have been fulfilled by the sacrifice made by Yeshua HaMashiach. So we don't do sacrifices anymore. Verse 1. Pardon me for just a second. Yeah, caught up with me. I had a little frog in the throat there. A little hot coffee helps that. verse 1 of chapter 35. The one who keeps the law makes many offerings. Verse 2. One who heeds the commandments makes an offering of well-being. Verse 3. The one who returns a kindness offers choice flour. Verse 4. And one who gives alms sacrifices a thanks offering. Verse 5. To keep from wickedness is pleasing to Yahweh, and to forsake unrighteousness is an atonement. Verse 6. Do not appear before Yahweh empty-handed. Verse 7. For all that you offer is in fulfillment of the commandment. Those all refer to the Old Testament when they did sacrifices. They were still doing them when this was written. Verse 8. The offering of the righteous enriches the altar, and its pleasing odor rises before the Most High. Here's verse 9. And you can reference 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. At 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. The sacrifice of the righteous is acceptable, and it will never be forgotten. Verse 10. Be generous when you worship Yahweh, and do not stint the first fruits of your hands. Verse 11. With every gift show a cheerful face, and dedicate your tithe with gladness. Verse 12. Give to the Most High as He has given to you, and as generously as you can afford. Verse 13. For Yahweh is the one who repays, and He will repay you sevenfold. So there you go. Now we don't have animal sacrifices or grain offerings anymore. We try to offer our life as a sacrifice by doing good works and sticking to the law. The law is still in effect. It's just there are no more animal sacrifices for atonement. That sacrifice has been fulfilled by Yeshua. Here's the last subsection of chapter 35. This is called Divine Justice. Verse 14. Do not offer Him a bribe, for He will not accept it. And do not rely on a dishonest sacrifice. For Yahweh is the judge, and with Him there is no partiality. 16. He will not show partiality to the poor, but He will listen to the prayer of one who is wronged. Verse 17. He will not ignore the supplication of the orphan or the widow when she pours out her complaint. Verse 18. Do not the tears of the widow run down her cheek? Verse 19. As she cries out against the one who causes them to fall? Verse 20. The one whose service is pleasing to Yahweh will be accepted, and his prayer will reach to the clouds. Verse 21. The prayer of the humble pierces the clouds, and it will not rest until it reaches its goal. It will not desist until the Most High responds. Verse 22, and does justice for the righteous and executes judgment. Indeed, Yahweh will not delay, and like a warrior will not be patient until he crushes the loins of the unmerciful. Verse 23, and repays vengeance on the nations until he destroys the multitude of the insolent and breaks the scepters of the unrighteous. Verse 24, until he repays mortals according to their deeds and the works of all according to their thoughts. Verse 25, until he judges the case of his people and makes them rejoice in his mercy. Verse 26, his mercy is as welcome in time of distress as clouds of rain in time of drought. Well, that's beautiful about his mercy. Oh, what a relief. And he's waiting right now. He's letting a lot of these evil ones do their thing. And the grace period is still here. He has not cut off grace. And those who would repent, although they be few these days, we don't see a lot of repentance, there are some. So we need to pray for those that don't know him or disobey him or have strayed into apostasy. We really need to keep them in prayer so that they come back to the Father. Here's chapter 36. These are all rather short chapters. The subsection here to start it out is a prayer for God's people. Okay. Verse 1 of chapter 36 of the book of Sirach. Have mercy upon us, O Elohim. It has, O God. I don't use the term God. It comes from Gad, the God of luck. O Elohim, O divine being of all. Have mercy upon us, O Elohim of all, and put all the nations in fear of you. That's verse 2. These are little, I missed that because these are tiny little verses. They're just like one-liners. Verse 3. Lift up your hand against foreign nations, that's racial alien nations, and let them see your might. Verse 4. As you have used us to show your holiness to them, so use them to show your glory to us. Verse 5. Then they will know, as we have known, that there is no Elohim but you, O Yahweh. Now I substituted the proper Elohim, divine being, instead of God. Okay? And Yahweh instead of Lord. Because they anglicized this, it's very hard to find a sacred name transcription of this. The stuff that's in print today, you really need to know what you're reading when you read it out loud, so you don't stick in Lord and God and all of that. They make it rough on us, brothers and sisters. They do. They do. Verse 6. Give new signs and work other wonders. Verse 7. Make your hand and right arm glorious. Verse 8. Rouse your anger and pour out your wrath. Verse 9. Destroy the adversary and wipe out the enemy. Verse 10. Hasten the day and remember the appointed time, and let people recount your mighty deeds. Verse 11. Let survivors be consumed in the fiery wrath, and may those who harm your people meet destruction. Boy, does that apply today. Those who harm your people meet destruction. Well, it says that in the rest of the scriptures that it's coming, but they don't want to hear it. They're in power. Okay. Verse 12. Crush the heads of the hostile rulers who say, there is no one but ourselves. Verse 13. Gather all the tribes of Jacob. That's Jacob, Israel. Okay. Verse 16. And give them their inheritance as at the beginning. Verse 17. Have mercy, O Yahweh, on the people called by your name, on Israel, whom you have named your firstborn. Verse 18. Have pity on the city of your sanctuary, Yerushalayim, the place of your dwelling. Well, it's destroyed. And it's occupied by the Edomites right now. And New Jerusalem will be coming when Yeshua returns. There is no sanctuary over there now. Verse 19. Fill Zion with your majesty and your temple with your glory. Now, see, this was written when there was a temple. Now the temple is within the body of Israel, and each one of us is a little temple that we need to keep sanctified to Yahweh. And we have the indwelling of His Spirit, Israel does. Those of us who have accepted it. There are those that have rejected it. Well, what can I say? If you reject the Holy Spirit, that's on you. Verse 20. Bear witness to those whom you created in the beginning and fulfill the prophecy spoken in your name. Verse 21. Reward those who wait for you and let your prophets be found trustworthy. Verse 22. Hear, O Yahweh, the prayer of your servants according to your goodwill towards your people, and all who are on the earth will know that you are Yahweh, the Elohim of the ages. There's another subsection. This is concerning discrimination. Now, it's not racial discrimination, but good judgment. Discriminating between good and evil. Okay. Verse 23. The stomach will take any food, yet one food is better than another. Verse 24. As the palate tastes the kinds of game, so an intelligent mind detects false words. Verse 25. A perverse mind will cause grief, but a person with experience will pay him back. Verse 26. a woman will accept any man as a husband, but one girl is preferable to another. Now, that doesn't hold true today, because women don't even want husbands. They want a whole bunch of guys or another woman or some such. A good righteous woman is just a jewel. They're so hard to find. And if you've got one, you better keep her, brother. That's all I can say, because the grass is not greener. You better cherish that righteous woman if you've got one. She might not be as young as she used to be, but her soul is a good soul. If you get a pretty body and a wicked soul, you're in trouble. Verse 27. A woman's beauty lights up a man's face, and there is nothing he desires more. Verse 28. If kindness and humility mark her speech, her husband is more fortunate than other men. What did I just say? You better keep her. Verse 29. He who acquires a wife gets his best possession. A helper fit for him and a pillar for support. Verse 30. Where there is no fence, the property will be plundered. And where there is no wife, a man will become a fugitive and a wanderer. Verse 31. For who will trust a nimble robber that skips from city to city? So, who will trust a man that has no nest but lodges wherever night overtakes him? In other words, if you have a good wife and a home and a family, you're going to be considered an upstanding member of the community. But if you're just wandering and going from bar to bar trying to pick up babes, you're not going to have a very good reputation, quite honestly. And here we are, we're going to start in chapter 37 now. And the title of this subsection, which should be a dandy, is False Friends. Boy, listen to this, verse 1. Every friend says, I too am a friend. But some friends are friends only in name. Verse 2. Is it not a sorrow like that for death itself when a dear friend turns into an enemy? Verse 3. Oh, inclination to evil, why were you formed to cover the land with deceit? Verse 4. Some companions rejoice in the happiness of a friend, but in time of trouble they are against him. Been there, done that. I've seen them do that. Verse 5. Some companions help a friend for their stomach's sake. Yet in battle, they will carry his shield. Verse 6. Do not forget a friend during the battle. And do not be unmindful of him when you distribute your spoils. Here's another subsection of chapter 37. Caution in taking advice. Verse 7. All counselors praise the counsel they give, but some give counsel in their own interest. Oh my, say it ain't so. You wouldn't give me advice just to benefit yourself, would you? Oh, surely not. Verse 8. Be wary of a counselor and learn first what is his interest, for he will take thought for himself. He may cast the lot against you. Verse 9. And tell you your way is good, and then stand aside to see what happens to you. Verse 10. Do not consult the one who regards you with suspicion. Hide your intentions from those who are jealous of you. Verse 11. Do not consult with a woman about her rival or with a coward about war, with a merchant about business, or with a buyer about selling, with a miser about generosity, or with the merciless about kindness, with an idler about any work, or with a seasonal laborer about completing his work, with a lazy servant about a big task. Pay no attention to any advice they give. Verse 12. But associate with a godly person whom you know to be a keeper of the commandments, who is like-minded with yourself and who will grieve with you if you fail. Verse 13. And heed the counsel of your own heart, for no one is more faithful to you than it is your own heart is faithful to you, has your interests. Verse 14, for our own mind sometimes keeps us better informed than seven sentinels sitting high on a watchtower. Verse 15. But above all, pray to the Most High, that He may direct your way in truth. Another subsection. True and false wisdom. Verse 16. Discussion is the beginning of every work, and counsel precedes every undertaking. Verse 17. The mind is the root of all conduct. It sprouts four branches, good and evil, life and death. And it is the tongue that continually rules them. Verse 19. Some people may be clever enough to teach many, and yet be useless to themselves. Verse 20. A skillful speaker may be hated. He will be destitute of all food. Verse 21. For Yahweh has withheld the gift of charm, since he is lacking in all wisdom. Verse 22. If a person is wise to his own advantage, the fruits of his good sense will be praiseworthy. Verse 23. A wise person instructs his own people, and the fruits of his good sense will endure. Verse 24. A wise person will have praise heaped upon him, and all who see him will call him happy. Verse 25. The days of a person's life are numbered, but the days of Yisrael are without number. Verse 26. After all we've been through, we're still here, okay? And a lot of us are waking up. They're realizing that they're Israel, not following the lie of the Mideastern bandits, the Edomites, okay? Verse 26, one who is wise among his people will inherit honor, and his name will live forever. Here's another subsection, the last of chapter 37, concerning moderation. Verse 27 of 37. My child, test yourself while you live. See what is bad for you and do not give in to it. Verse 28. For not everything is good for everyone, and no one enjoys everything. Different strokes for different folks, okay? Verse 29. Do not be greedy for every delicacy, and do not eat without restraint. Verse 30. For overeating brings sickness, and gluttony leads to nausea. Verse 31. Many have died of gluttony, but the one who guards against it prolongs his life. In other words, you eat and you eat and you eat, and you get fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter, and then you fall over dead. You know, that's one of the problems today. People just stuff themselves. I just lost another 10 pounds, man. I'm down to 200. And what was that, 218 from 254? Yeah! That's good. And my energy level's way up. Man, I'm using that stuff from DIY Health. And just, man, whew, boy, I feel good. Let's get into chapter 38. There's 34 verses. I have enough time to do that. This is concerning physicians and health. Whoa, that's a surprise. Verse 1, honor physicians for their services, for Yahweh created them. That's the old-fashioned doctor that really treated illnesses instead of just pumped you full of dope and big pharma. Verse 2, for their gift of healing comes from the Most High, and they are rewarded by the king. That's back when doctors would actually treat you and they knew what was going on. That's changed too. Verse 3. The skill of physicians makes them distinguished, and in the presence of the great they are admired. Verse 4. Yahweh created medicines out of the earth. Oh, natural medicines. What have we been talking about here? Natural homeopathic cures that really fix you up instead of just cover up a problem? Okay. Yahweh created medicines out of the earth, and the sensible will not despise them. Verse 5, and you can reference Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 through 25. That's Exodus 15, verses 23 through 25. Was not water made sweet with a tree in order that its power might be known? And that's when the waters were bitter. And they tossed a tree in it, and it made the water sweet again. Okay. Verse 6. And he gave skill to human beings, here is what they have, to man, or Adam, that he might be glorified in his marvelous works. Okay. They're talking about Adamic man here. So, this book has human beings. Nah. Verse 7. By them the physician heals and takes away pain. Verse 8. Now they have the pharmacist, okay, makes a mixture from them. It would be apothecary, one who mixes up herbs, etc., etc., that are not witchcraft, natural things, okay? Because pharma is from pharmakia, which is sorcery. They have changed the language in a lot of these books. Elohim's works will never be finished, and from him health spreads over the earth. In other words, all natural stuff, not this poison, cut, burn, and poison. Verse 9. My child, when you are ill, do not delay, but pray to Yahweh, and he will heal you. Verse 10. Give up your faults and direct your hands rightly, and cleanse your heart from all sin. Verse 11. Offer a sweet-smelling sacrifice and a memorial portion of choice flour, and pour oil on your offering as much as you can afford. That's back when they did sacrifices. Verse 12. Then give the physician his place, for Yahweh created him. Healer would be a better term than physician. Okay. This is translated from Greek. Okay. Do not let him leave you, for you need him. That's a healer, okay? We have natural healers today. Homeopathic doctors. Verse 13. There may come a time when recovery lies in the hands of healers. I'm not going to say physicians. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to use it. Physicians. No. Healers. Okay? Verse 14. For they too pray to Yahweh that he grant them success in diagnosis. Okay. And in healing for the sake of preserving life. How many pray to Yahweh before they lay hands on you and try to treat you? How many? Why we have so much disease and people are dying left and right of all this stuff? Most dangerous place you can go is a hospital. You get all kinds of infections in there. It's unclean. I came out of the hospital with a doggone rash on my feet. Never had a rash before. Well, I've used these natural products and my rash is gone. Okay. Verse 15, he who sins against his maker will be defiant toward the healer. Now they have physician again. Another subsection, of chapter 38 on mourning for the dead. I've got 10 minutes here. And verses 16 through 23, you can reference Sirach 22, verses 11 and 12. You can refer back to a prior chapter. Sirach 22, verses 11 and 12. Verse 16. My child, let your tears fall for the dead, and as one in great pain, begin the lament. Lay out the body with due ceremony, and do not neglect the burial. Verse 17. Let your weeping be bitter and your wailing fervent. Make your mourning worthy of the departed for one day or two to avoid criticism. Then be comforted for your grief. Verse 18. For grief may result in death, and a sorrowful heart saps one's strength. Verse 19. When a person is taken away, sorrow is over, but the life of the poor weighs down the heart. Verse 20. Do not give your heart to grief. Drive it away and remember your own end. Verse 21. Do not forget, there is no coming back. You do the dead no good, and you injure yourself. Verse 22. Remember his fate, for yours is like it. Yesterday it was his, and today it is yours. In other words, everybody dies. Verse 23, when the dead is at rest, let his remembrance rest too, and be comforted for him when his spirit has departed. Well, we'll sleep in Yahweh if we are of his sheep. We will sleep. We're not going to go to heaven. Oh, I'm going to be with my wife. No, you're not. No, you're not. The Bible does not say that. It says you will sleep until the resurrection. Some will be resurrected to eternal life. Some will be resurrected to the second death. And then they will be destroyed forever. They will know nothing. They will be gone. I choose the Messiah and eternal life. That's my choice. Another subsection of chapter 38, trades and crafts, verse 24. The wisdom of the scribe depends on the opportunity of leisure. Only the one who has little business can become wise. Verse 25. How can one become wise who handles the plow, and who glories in the shaft of a goad, who drives oxen and is occupied with their work, and whose talk is about bulls? Verse 26. He sets his heart on plowing furrows, and he is careful about fodder for the heifers. Verse 27. So too is every artisan and master artisan who labors by night as well as by day. Those who cut the signets of seals, each is diligent in making a great variety. They set their heart on painting a lifelike image, and they are careful to finish their work. Verse 28. So too is the smith, sitting by the anvil, intent on his ironwork. The breath of the fire melts his flesh, and he struggles with the heat of the furnace. The sound of the hammer deafens his ears, and his eyes are on the pattern of the object. He sets his heart on finishing his handiwork, and he is careful to complete its decoration. Verse 29. So too is the potter sitting at his work and turning the wheel with his feet. He is always deeply concerned over his products, and he produces them in quantity. That's back when people made pots and fired them in a kiln. Okay. Back in the old days. Verse 30. He molds the clay with his arm and makes it pliable with his feet. He sets his heart to finish the glazing, and he takes care in firing the kiln. That was a real art back then. Some of the beautiful pottery they created. Verse 31, all these rely on their hands, and all are skillful in their own work. Verse 32, without them, no city can be inhabited, and wherever they live, they will not go hungry. Yet they are not sought out for the counsel of the people. Verse 33, nor do they attain eminence in the public assembly. They do not sit in the judge's seat, nor do they understand the decisions of the courts. They cannot expound discipline or judgment, and they are not found among the rulers. Verse 34, but they maintain the fabric of the world, and their concern is for the exercise of their trade. In other words, we couldn't get along without the skilled people that make all the things that we use. We should be very happy with them. Well, I've got about 3 minutes, or a little less than 3 minutes, and it's been a pleasure. We'll get into chapter 39 on Friday, and I will catch you then. Tomorrow, this year, okay, tomorrow is Pentecost. This is a Sabbath. This is a Wednesday. This year, it's a Sabbath. 23rd, and the high Sabbath is the 24th. That's tomorrow at Pentecost. So I'm pre-recording this so I can have the Sabbath free, and the 24th has a repeat, so I have that day free, so I will have my double Sabbath free, and I will celebrate it. Well, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll catch you on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.